יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday night edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight, we are looking at a very important topic. We will be studying the supremacy of the King James 1611 Authorized Version Holy Bible. You know, we live in a world with over 350 different versions of the Bible, and they all have one thing in common. That one thing is that they all differ from each other. The King James Bible is the one that all other versions are compared to, and rightly so. Tonight, on this episode of Rightly Dividing, we conduct an honest and thoughtful comparison between the King James Bible and many of today's popular best-selling Bible brands. The results may surprise you, and in many cases will shock you. So the question that we'd like to ask you tonight is, do you have the words that God wrote? Do you know where they are? Can you put your hands on them? If I said to you, could you read to me the preserved, verified words that God wrote, that God spoke? Could you point me to such a book? Could you show me an error-free copy of the Bible? Well, before you answer that question, hold on a bit, because tonight we're looking at the King James versus the NIV, the ESV, the RSV, and we're even going to throw in the New World Translation from the Jehovah's Witnesses just for fun. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask for his blessing on tonight's program. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your mercy, Lord. Be with us tonight and help us to get what you have for us. And we ask you, Lord, to bless the reading and the study of your word and open our eyes and ears to it, Lord. Hear us from heaven, God, and help us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open the blind eyes.
If you are just tuning in, you have reached the Sunday night edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider, and I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And tonight, I will be your radio host and Bible teacher. A lot of people said that their sound wasn't working through the first few minutes of the show, so I thought I would just repeat the introduction for those who did not hear it. We do welcome back to the listening side of the program our sister Janet, who has gone through monumental efforts to fix her computer. In fact, I think she went out and bought a new one so that she could attend this program by way of the internet. And you know, we've been doing this show for 5 years now. And so many of you who listen every week have been listening for 3, 4, and 5 years, like Janet and Barbara and Lainey and Debbie Jeanette and just so many, Lulu, and just so many people who listen on a regular basis. And I just want to say that I'm grateful for you guys consistently tuning in. You know, there's no ad revenue that's generated from this radio program. People who come in here are just here because they want to learn the Bible. And I'm here because God has called me to teach the Bible. And this, to me, is like a family. It really is. And I just want to say how much that I really appreciate all your love and support. And when you people write to me and tell me that the radio program has blessed you, to me, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. And the time that it takes and everything that goes into it, if the word of God can be preached in truth and in power, and if people can receive it and learn it and be closer to the Lord because of it, then that's a great, great, great thing. So that's where we stand tonight. We're looking at the King James Bible, one of my favorite, absolute favorite topics. And it's important that you have the right copy of the Bible. Not all Bibles are the same. Not all Bibles are the Word of God. And tonight, I'm going to prove that to you beyond the shadow of a doubt. If you have an NIV or an ESV or an RSV or an NWT or the Message or any of that other stuff, I'm going to show you exactly how they compare to the King James Bible, and then you tell me if your non-King James Bible is the Word of God or not. I am a King James onlyist, and I have been for 26 years, but you know what? I'm not one of those crazy fundamentalists that's going to wear the suit and tie and pound this stuff into your head. Instead, I'm going to intelligently present the facts to you by comparing the versions side by side, and then I'll let you decide. If you think that the NIV is the Word of God, and if you still think that after we do the program, actually, I'll be amazed. Because tonight, I'm going to present not my opinion, I'm going to present evidence for the supremacy of the King James 1611 Authorized Version Holy Bible. And you know what? You just might stand amazed by the time we're done. Stay with us. We're just getting started.
And wonder how he can love me.
Bible says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you have the blessed hope today? Or has somebody stole the blessed hope from you? You know, we live in a day and time where the forces of darkness are rising very, very quickly. Every single day, people contact me to tell me, brother, I used to believe like you do, but dot, dot, dot. And then they tell me why they no longer have the blessed hope of the pre-tribulation rapture of Jesus Christ for the church. The blessed hope is not the second coming of Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. That is not the blessed hope. The blessed hope is the blessed hope from Titus 2:13, from 1 Corinthians 15, from 1 Thessalonians 4. That's the blessed hope. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And he said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, not a trumpet, but a voice as of a trumpet. And you want to take a guess whose voice that is? That's none other than the voice of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Last night before I went to bed, the Lord gave me something really, really special from Song of Solomon. And I went to sleep meditating on it. And when I woke up, it was in my head, and I woke up nice and early around 7 o'clock, and I got up and brushed my teeth and washed my face and rubbed the sleep out of my face. And even before I had my coffee, the Lord said, I gave you something special last night. Now go write a story about it. Today, I wrote this Bible teaching called The Timing of the Pre-Tribulation Rapture of the Church as Found in the Song of Solomon. When you get a chance, if you haven't read this article yet, I highly, highly recommend that you study what the Lord showed me last night. Contained in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon are these words, these amazing words. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That is in the Old Testament. That is Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, where it talks about Jesus through the windows of heaven looking at his beloved, the church. That's me and you. If you're born again, that's me and you. If you're washed in the blood, that's me and you. And in the Old Testament, God left a mystery picture of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. It wasn't unknown, but Song of Solomon chapter 2 was not revealed until the Apostle Paul. And when the Lord gave me that last night, it was just such a blessing. And I woke up this morning, and that was the very first thought on my mind, was Jesus in the window of heaven looking at us through the lattice work. And it's just, that's the type of God that we serve. That's the type of book that he wrote for us. And that's why we're going to defend the King James Bible, because a lot of these teachings on the rapture are not found in the new versions. Stay with us.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call, and at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out. I see prophecies fulfilling, the signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise.
Shortly before the start of tonight's Bible study, today was one of those amazing days, actually amazing weekends, that started out a little bit depressing, and plans that I had did not materialize, and I was a little depressed, and the Lord just came and met with me, and it's actually been an amazing weekend, and I haven't felt the presence of the Lord quite as strong as this in a little bit of time. I mean, I always feel the presence of the Lord. I mean, I think all saved people do, but this weekend was just especially amazing where he just met with me and just dumped it on me this weekend, and it was great. And I was able to spend the entire day posting articles for Now the End Begins. I wrote that Bible teaching this morning. That took about 3 hours. I haven't even left the house yet. And the Lord just was so good to me today. The last story that I did right before airtime, a little bit of a scary story, a lot of an amazing story. The New World Order has created its first capital city headquarters in Astana, Kazakhstan. There is a city, an entire city that's been created by the New World Order in Kazakhstan. It's called Astana, A-S-T-A-N-A. And when you have time, I want you to go and look at that article. Don't do it now during Bible study. But this place is they have a pyramid where world leaders from the United Nations meet to talk about a global one world religion. It is, I mean, this is like something from a Left Behind novel, but it's real and it's true and it's unbelievably creepy. And we're close. I don't know how close we are to the rapture, but we're pretty close. We are pretty close. And as I've been saying for 5 years in this program, we're overlapping. The age of grace is overlapping the time that's coming after. And we're seeing through the window with our nose pressed right up against the glass. We're seeing what life is going to be like in this world during the time of Jacob's trouble. We won't go through the time of Jacob's trouble, but we are so close to it that the dispensations are almost starting to touch. And there's a very thin layer of glass between the two dispensations. That glass is called the pre-tribulation rapture. But we are that close to getting out of here. And the world is that close to getting ready to receive the man of sin, the Antichrist. We live in amazing, amazing, amazing times. And even the scary stories are really interesting because it shows you how close that we are. All right, we are just about to get started. One more song, and then we are going to jump right into tonight's program. The Supremacy of the King James 1611 Authorized Version Holy Bible. Go get a cup of coffee and get ready to see what God has for us. We'll be right back in 3 minutes and 5 seconds. Don't go away.
Once I wandered in sin. The Lord did cry, he is a sinner, and now he must die. Then I heard a voice say, Father, I'll go, and I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's snow. I'll bear in my body the marks of that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory. There are those who rely on words that say, and some men count on the times they play through, but when the battle's over and victory
the Father's only Son, and it's healed the blood that saves from sin. It's healed the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is healed the blood of Jesus that brings victory. Blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
Amen. It is still the blood of Jesus, once shed for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says this in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's God's promise. That's God's free gift to you. You can't add to it. You can't work for it. And you know what? You don't deserve it, because it's a gift and it's free and you can't pay for it and you can't pay him back. Don't even bother trying. Don't even bother trying. It's a free gift. Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to the fountain and drink. He says, come. If you want to avoid hell, come and get saved and get cleansed by the shed blood of God. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was making a payment for me and for you. And when you accept that payment as your payment for your sin, that's a legally binding transaction. And God says he'll save you and seal you to the day of redemption. That's what the Bible says. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, God, that we get to meet one more time and to open up that great book that you wrote, the King James Bible. Bless it to us tonight, Lord. Open our eyes and ears to what you have and let us receive the word with truth. And we ask it, Father God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Many of you know a little bit of sad news. Peter S. Ruckman of Pensacola, Florida, and the founder of PBI, Pensacola Bible Institute, went home to be with the Lord last week, and he was almost 95 years old, and he was a great Bible teacher, and He almost single-handedly led the charge for the King James Bible. Almost single-handedly. He got on that, and he stayed on that, and he never got off of it. He also focused very, very heavily on the doctrines of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and of eternal security and all sorts of things like that. He was a great defender of the faith. And I got saved back in March of 1990. And I got saved with a King James Bible. I did not know about Peter S. Ruckman until about 5 years after I had gotten saved. And I always believed that the King James Bible was the Word of God, and I believed it very, very strongly. I didn't have any real knowledge to back me up. It was just a belief that I had because that's the book that God saved me with. But when I was introduced to the teachings of Peter Ruckman by my friend Scott Lyman in Riverdale, New Jersey, I realized right away that that was a man who could teach me the Bible. And for, I would say, the last 21, 22 years, I learned what I know about the Bible largely from Peter Ruckman. And he was a great, great Bible teacher. So tonight, by way of recorded sound, we are going to allow Dr. Peter S. Ruckman from Pensacola, Florida, to introduce tonight's program, and to, because he had such a passion for the King James Bible. He really did. He had such an amazing passion, and he was a PhD. He had 5 earned degrees. He said that he read a book a day every day, which is really kind of incredible when you think about it. I like to read, but I don't read anything remotely close to a book a day every day. But I have a little audio clip here. Peter Ruckman, who's going to introduce tonight's teaching to you on the supremacy of the King James 1611 Authorized Version Bible. Enjoy.
Now, this message I have drawn for you here deals with the Word of God. That's the book, Holy Bible. We call this Holy Bible the King James Authorized Version. That's what I've talked to you about. We call this Holy Bible the King James Authorized Version because it was translated under a king, and the Bible says where the word of a king is, there's power. We call it an authorized version because it's authorized by the Holy Spirit in a way that no book has ever been authorized before or since. If you had an original copy of the King James Bible, you wouldn't find the word authorized in the flyleaf of that Bible. It came to be known as the authorized version by virtue of its power and authority. And this is the book we've talked to you about on this telecast. This is the book you ought to be spending time reading. This is the book that you ought to get through at least once a year. If you're a dog slow reader, you can get through here once a year. If you're a fast reader, you ought to be able to get through 4 to 6 times a year. And the sad fact of the matter is, people in America don't read this book. They buy these books, and they study these books, but they don't read these books. And you've been preaching to about this book here, and what I want to know is this. Are you going to get in this book and spend time in it, or are you not? This book is a cleansing agent. In John chapter 13, he said, John 17:17, sanctify them with the truth, thy word is truth. In John chapter 15, he said, now you are clean through the word I have spoken unto you. The psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's a cleansing agent. Some of you Christians I'm talking to right now are dirty. You're filthy. You're saved, but you're filthy. You got a filthy mind, you got a filthy imagination, a filthy heart, and some of your practices are filthy. Some people don't even think you're saved. I've got better sense. I know how far out of the will of God a Christian can get and still be saved. A Christian can get in all kinds of trouble and still be saved. We all know that. Do you notice recently when these TV evangelists got in all the trouble they had, they suddenly decided they hadn't lost it? Did you notice that? We have one of these fellows saying, well, these Baptists preaching this damnable doctrine of eternal security, then he got in the worst mess you ever saw, and he didn't say he lost it. He just thinks you Baptists can lose it. Isn't that a strange thing? Listen, I'm not worried about you losing salvation if you've got it. But you can't live a clean, pure life as a child of God without spending time in this book. He said, wherewithal shall a young man come this way? By taking heed thereto according to my word. David said, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Now, there's an old saying. If we go off the air, I want to put this on you. This book will keep me from my sins, or my sins will keep me from this book. If you're messing around with lesbianism, the child of God, you're not going to enjoy reading this book. The faggots and fruitcakes out in California, where a friend of mine preaches at their big celebration up in Frisco, threw stuff at him and tore up his Bible, and several thousand stomped in the street and repeated in unison, we will not read the Bible. 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 We will not. Don't have to tell me. I knew they wouldn't to start with. If you're stepping out in your wife, you don't enjoy Proverbs 4, 5, 6, and 7. If you're an atheist and agnostic, you don't care for Psalm 14 or Isaiah 28 and 29. Don't kid me. I know what's in there. That thing's loaded. That book knows all about you and tells it. You women I'm talking to, if you're a Christian woman, you're stepping out in your husband, or getting ready to step out in your husband, I'll tell you something you ain't going to fool with a 10-foot pole. Ezekiel 16 and Ezekiel 23. And you don't even know what's in there. You just automatically avoid it. But I know why you avoid it, because I know what's in there. Now listen, it's time for you children of God to get in this book. It's time for you to quit messing around with multiple versions and trying to find a book that will say something the way you think it ought to be said or where it will suit your fancy. It's time you got the pure, unadulterated Word of God and God in it and hid it in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Those words are living. And Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Will you make a resolution? I preached to you. I've talked to you about it. Will you make a resolution today, right now, that you're going to read 10 pages a day out of there? You say, Brother Rutman, that's a lot of pages. Five pieces of paper on both sides. Five pieces of paper on both sides. Now, surely you can read five pieces of paper on both sides. Surely you can do that. 10 pages a day. This Bible here is a big has big print in it. And this Bible here runs approximately 1,800 pages. 1,822. Now, if we'll make it 1,800, you can read this at 10 pages a day. You can read this Bible through in 180 days. You know what that is? That's two times a year. Any one of you people I'm talking to right now could read that book through twice a year if you read five pieces of paper on both sides. Why haven't you done it? Are you telling me you can't do it? You can't read five pages on both sides? Look at here. One, two, three, four, five pages on both sides. In a day, you couldn't do that in a day. Five pages a day, you've got that book read through two times a year. You've been saved 30 years? Old Christian buddy, if you've been saved 30 years and haven't been through that book 60 times every word in it, you are one sorry Christian, let me tell you. You have sure spent your time reading a lot of junk, if you read it all. If you're blind, get it in Braille. If you can't read the Braille, get it on tape. But don't kid me. Christ said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Why, if some of you people fed your body like you feed your soul, you'd have died of malnutrition 10 years ago. Are you going to get the book? Let's make a resolution, shall we? Today, you heard this message about the Word of God. How about making a resolution right now? Lord, God give me grace. I'm going to read 10 pages a day the rest of my life as long as my eyes hold up. 10 pages? Yes, I can't make it, Brother Ruffman. Okay, how about 5 pages? Okay? 5 pages. That's two sides of two pieces of paper and one side of a piece of paper. If you've been saved 40 years, you should have gone through that book 40 times if you had read 2.5 pages a day. You know why you Christians don't know that book? You don't spend any time in it. And may God help you from this day forward to spend some time in there and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Dr. Peter Ruckman from Pensacola, Florida, giving you a 8-minute encouraging word on why you should be studying the King James Bible. Let's start with King James himself. Many people have lots of disparaging comments to make about King James. They say that he was a homosexual. They say that he was a Roman Catholic. They say that all sorts of nasty things about King James. The reality is, King James was married. His wife was known as Queen Anne, and he would write long, beautiful letters to her and about her. Together they had 9 children. This man was not a homosexual. He became the King of Scotland in 1567, and then he ascended to the English throne in 1603. Under his kingship, he united the kingdoms of Scotland and England, and that's where the term Great Britain comes from. Great Britain means England and Scotland together. And not only did King James not work in conspiracy with the Roman Catholics, the Roman Catholic clerics tried on more than one occasion to kill him. He was not well loved by the Vatican, and many, many times Vatican agents tried to have him killed, but God's hand was on him, and they were unsuccessful. King James was a man who authorized the translating of the Bible into English. He did not translate it himself, but he certainly could have worked on the translating committee, as he was fluent in Greek, Latin, French, English, and his native Scots. He was schooled in Italian and Spanish schools. While he was king, the great poet William Shakespeare was one of his subjects. During the time of King James, art and music and writing and learning were, this was the time period called the Great Enlightenment. And King James was the king in England during this time period, leading the way with the Enlightenment. Interesting facts about the King James Bible. The King James Bible is the best-selling book in world history. More copies of the King James Bible have been printed, bought, and sold than any other Bible, even 2 and 3 and 4 other Bible versions combined. The NIV is not even close to the amount of copies that the King James Bible has sold. And the King James Bible has been translated into every single language on earth. And it is the Bible that God used during the greatest period of world evangelism that this earth has ever seen, from the late 1600s to the late 1800s. You have people like Whitfield and Spurgeon and D.L. Moody, and even Billy Sunday, one of the very, very last of the original old school New Testament prophets. But then when you get into the 20th century, you have the rise of all these different versions of the Bible. And just coincidentally, as the new versions rise, revival begins to slow and stop. To the time you get to the middle of the 20th century and you have no revival of any kind. You have Billy Graham with his phony revivals, with his Roman Catholic revivals, but the revivals that Billy Graham held in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s were nothing like the revivals held by D.L. Moody in the 1860s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. The King James Bible is called the King of Bible Versions, and for a very, very good reason. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 4, we read this: where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? The King James Bible is unique in world history. It is unique in printed literature, and it still is the number one best-selling book in 2016. Now, with that as the introduction, I want to show you a few things King James Bible. We're also going to be talking about the new King James Bible. Very, very important. So, if you have your Bibles, please open up to Luke chapter 9, verse 56. And I'm going to give you a different type of Bible study on the King James Bible. I'm not going to bore you, hopefully not bore you at all, but I'm not going to inundate you with statistics and facts and figures. I mean, a couple are very interesting, but I'm not going to give you a scholar's approach to the King James Bible. I'm going to give you the average reader's approach to the King James Bible. I'm going to make it practical for you. I'm going to put it where you can grab a hold of it, where it will make sense to you. I'm going to give you a real easy look at the King James Bible, but if you pay attention, it's going to really, really bless you. So please keep the chatting in the chat room to a minimum, because we're going to be flipping a lot of pages starting right now. Luke 9, verse 56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. That's what the King James says. The NIV says, and they went to another village. Completely leaving out, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy lives, but to save them. That is missing in the NIV Bible. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, it says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In the NIV Bible, it says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The words to repentance have been completely left off. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 in the NIV Bible says, Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed, leaving off the words for us. Are you starting to see a pattern here? And I'm going to see if I can post these verses as I go along. The people that we have who usually do the posting are not available tonight, but I'll do my best here. In John 6:47 in the King James Bible, it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And in the NIV Bible, it says, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. The NIV has removed the words on me. Have you ever driven down the street and you see those bumper stickers that Catholics put on the back of their cars? They're these long yellow stickers and big blue letters that says believe with an exclamation point. And to the right of the word believe, it has the Holy Catholic chalice that holds the Eucharist. Well, if a Catholic was to read John 6:47, that would be right in line with their doctrine, because it's left off the words on me. So the NIV is just asking you to believe, not in anything in particular. But the King James Version makes it very specific that only by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ do you have everlasting life. In Luke chapter 2, verse 33 in the King James Bible, it says, And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And in Luke 2:33 of the NIV, it says, The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Joseph was not the father of Jesus Christ. He was the stepfather. The father of Jesus Christ is God the Father. The King James tells you that Joseph and his mother, talking about Jesus. But the NIV makes Joseph the father of Jesus Christ, and he clearly was not. In Mark chapter 3, verse 15, it says, power to heal sick and to cast out devils. And Mark 3:15 in the NIV says, authority to drive out demons. Not only is that missing the part of power to heal sickness, but the King James tells you that these demons are devils. And the NIV demotes them to demons. In Mark chapter 11, verse 26 in the King James Bible, it says, but if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. In the NIV Bible, Mark 11:26 does not exist. They cut it out completely. And the NIV, as well as a lot of the other verses, they do a lot of that cutting out stuff. That's what they love to do. In Matthew 5, verse 44, in the King James Bible, Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know what Matthew 5:44 in the NIV says? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Completely cuts out, bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you. The entire middle 80% of Matthew 5:44, they just completely cut out. In John 16, verse 16, in the King James Bible, Jesus says this, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Jesus is saying that he has to go up to heaven, and in a little while you're not going to see him, because he's going to return to his Father, from whence he came. John 16:16 in the NIV Bible says, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. It completely cuts out the words, because I go to the Father. Now, why would the NIV Bible want to cut those things out? I don't know. You tell me. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I, John is writing, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. John says that he stood on the sand of the sea, and he watched the Antichrist come up out of the sea. What does the NIV say? The dragon stood on the shore of the sea. Do you see that? The King James Version says that John is the one who is standing on the sand of the sea, but the NIV Bible replaces John with the dragon, who is Satan. That is an enormous, that's not just a different interpretation, that's a factual error. And that has remained in the NIV Bible for the past, I don't know, how long have you had the NIV Bible? 25 years, 30 years? For decades, they have allowed that error to exist. John suddenly, magically becomes the devil. So these are just a dozen examples that I just gave you showing that the King James Bible has a whole, and I could give you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these type of examples. Now ask yourself this question, why would the people who put together the NIV, the RSV, the ASV, and all these other different Bible versions, why would they all do varying degrees of this? When we come back, I'm going to introduce you to a group of men, two men, who go by the name of Westcott and Hort. And they were responsible for the Greek New Testament in the 1800s, that the vast majority, nearly every single one of the new versions, have taken their text from the Westcott and Hort text. When we come back, you're going to meet Westcott and Hort. Don't go away.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen and help. Help
And we are back for the start of hour two. A friend of mine and a friend of the ministries, Now the End Begins, Dr. Sam Gipp. Dr. Sam Gipp was the very, very first person who ever prayed with me for my ministry 7 years ago. I called him up on the phone one day and I said, Dr. Sam, the Lord has laid on my heart to start a ministry website and I'm calling it Now the End Begins. And would you pray for me that I would be able to follow the Lord's leading and guiding with this ministry? And back in 2009, over the telephone, Dr. Sam Gipp was the very, very first person who ever prayed for this ministry that the Lord gave me. He's a good brother in Christ, and he's a great defender of the King James Bible. I recommend that you pick up his book. It's called The Answer Book by Dr. Sam Gipp. And lots of really, really good stuff in there. And I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs to you from that book on who Westcott and Hort were. Brooke Foss Westcott, who lived from 1825 to 1903, and Fenton John Anthony Hort, who lived from 1828 to 1892, were two non-Christian Anglican ministers. They were fully steeped in the Alexandrian philosophy that there is no perfect Bible. But they especially had a vicious distaste for the King James Bible and its Antiochian Greek text and the Textus Receptus. Westcott and Hort were dabblers in necromancy, which is talking with the dead. They held seances. They believed that it was possible to communicate with the dead. And they even organized a society that they called the Ghostly Guild. Westcott accepted and promoted prayers for the dead like a Mormon would. Both Westcott and Hort prayed to Mary, and Hort was an admirer and proponent of Charles Darwin and his theory of evolution. It is obvious to even a casual observer why they were well equipped to guide the revision committee of 1871 to 1881 away from God's Greek text and into the spell of Alexandria, Egypt. They had just compiled their own Greek text from Egyptian manuscripts, which, through unpublished and inferior to the Textus Receptus, they secreted little by little to the revision committee, the results being a totally new Alexandrian English Bible instead of a revision of the authorized version that it was claimed to be. So, who were Westcott and Hort? Westcott and Hort were two people who created a new Greek text from Egyptian manuscripts. Now, you have to remember that nothing good comes out of Egypt. In the Bible, Egypt is a type of the world. It's a type of slavery. It's a type of judgment. In the book of Revelation, it says that when the Antichrist is ruling in Jerusalem during the time of Jacob's trouble, God likens the great city to Sodom and Egypt. Nothing good comes out of Egypt. So, Brooke Foss Westcott and Fenton John Anthony Hort, these were two people who almost single-handedly corrupted the what we now call the modern version of the Bible. They built their own Greek text based on corrupted and perverted manuscripts from Egypt. So where do the RSV, the ASV, the NIV, the ESV, the Message, Good News for Modern Man, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, where do all these Bibles come from? They are not revisions of the King James Bible. They are completely new Bibles based on the corrupted Greek text of Westcott and Hort. When this program is over, I highly recommend that you take some time and go to Google and begin to study the lives of Westcott and Hort. These people were, they weren't even Christian. They were Christians in name only, and they introduced corrupted, non-inspired Egyptian manuscripts instead of the authorized, handed down, accepted Greek texts, such as the Textus Receptus. So that's the background where all these new versions come from. Now, here's something interesting. Turn to the book of Mark. Turn to the book of Mark in chapter 1, and I want to show you a glaring error in the NIV Bible, which is picked up in many of the other versions. Mark chapter 1, and let's look at the first three verses. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now that is Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 in the King James Bible. Let's look at the exact same three verses in the NIV Bible. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 in the NIV. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you and prepare your way, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." Now, did you catch that? Did you catch the difference? The difference happens in verse number 2. I'm going to post the King James verse in the chat room, and I want you to take a look at that. I'm going to post the NIV version in the chat room as well, and I want to see if you can pick up what the difference is. The King James Bible says, "As it is written in the prophets," and then he quotes from the prophets. The NIV version says, "As it is written in Isaiah the prophet." Now, what's the difference? The difference is the NIV version credits the quotes that follow as all being from Isaiah the prophet. But that's not true. The section in question, one is a quote from Isaiah 43, and the other one is a quote from Malachi 3:1. Malachi says, "As it is written in the behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee." That's Malachi 3:1. And then verse 3 is from Isaiah 40, verse 3. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." So the King James Bible tells you that it is multiple prophets that it is about to quote from, and the NIV mistakenly attributes the quote from Malachi to Isaiah. Again, that is not a translation error. That is a mistake. And that mistake has been in the Bible, in the NIV Bible, since I think it was started in 1978. So for almost 78, 88, 98, 2000. So for the last 38 years, the NIV Bible has been published and republished, verifiable mistakes in that book. Brother Bob just said 1973. Okay, so great, thank you. So since 1973, that's 43 years of the NIV Bible, and that book is constantly being published and republished with mistakes in it. Now, is that a book that you can put your trust and faith in? You can't show me any mistakes in the King James Bible. You can't show me any errors in the King James Bible, but I could fill up a 5-hour program with mistakes from the NIV Bible. Is that the type of book that you want to be reading from? Is that the type of book that you want to base your Christian life on? A book that is filled with mistakes? I don't think so. Now, let's take a look at some other versions of the Bible in addition to the NIV Bible, and you're going to see some surprising similarities. And the three Bible versions in addition to the King James that I'm going to give you are the NAV, the NAS, which is the New American Standard, and just for fun, I'm going to give you the New World Translation. Now, you could say to me, hey, brother, why are you using a Jehovah's Witness Bible? That's not really the Bible. And if you were to make that statement to me, I would agree with you. But guess what? Do you know where the Jehovah's Witness got the New World Translation from? Take a wild, crazy guess. The Jehovah's Witness got the New World Translation from Westcott and Hort, the same people that the New American Standard got it from, the same people that the NIV got it from. So let's look at a few different places in the Bible where it talks about some differences. In the King James Bible, Matthew 9:13, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The NIV says, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The NAS says, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And the Jehovah's Witness Bible says, for I am come to call not righteous people, but sinners. What did they leave out? They left out that Jesus is calling sinners to repentance. The NIV, the NAS, and the New World Translation all leave that out, and they all agree with each other. Matthew 18, verse 11 in the King James Bible. Matthew 18, verse 11 in the King James Bible. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. What does it say in the NIV version? They left it out. What does it say in the NAS? The footnote cast doubt on the legitimacy of that verse. What does it say in the New World Translation from the Jehovah's Witnesses? They left it out, just like the NIV did. I want you to start seeing a pattern here. Matthew 19, verse 17. Why callest me? Why callest thou me good? Jesus is talking, and he says to the rich young ruler, why callest thou me good? The NIV says, why do you ask me about what is good? The NAS says, why are you asking me about what is good? The Jehovah's Witness Bible says, why do you ask me about what is good? all three of those versions agree with each other. I'll give you a couple more here. Matthew 25, verse 13. Matthew 25, 13. Ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The NIV says, you do not know the day or the hour. The NAS says, you do not know the day nor the hour. The Jehovah's Witness Bible says, you do not know the day nor the hour. So, I want you to see that the NIV Bible, which is promoted and touted as like the greatest Bible version ever created, is completely in line with the Jehovah's Witness Bible. I want you to be able to see that. That's important that you can see what I'm talking about. That the the NIV Bible is not one bit better than the Jehovah's Witness Bible. And we all know that the Jehovah's Witness the Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult. And yet, hold on, I just got to pull up a reference here. And yet, somehow, there's not very much difference between the NIV and the New World Translation. Do you know who endorses the NIV Bible? If you had to take a guess, people who endorse the NIV Bible. Billy Graham says that it's a great Bible version. The head of Dallas Theological Seminary says that it's a great Bible version. Wayne Grudem, who is on the ESV Translation Oversight Committee from the seminary in Phoenix, he says that it's a great Bible version. Chuck Swindoll says it's a great Bible version. Tony Evans says it's a great Bible version. The NIV has been bought and paid for, and it is not one bit better than the New World Translation from the Jehovah's Witnesses. Mark 10, verse 24. How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. That's what the King James Bible says. The NIV says, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. The NAS says, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. The Jehovah's Witness Bible says, how difficult a thing it is to enter into the kingdom of God. Let me give you another one here. Luke chapter 4, verse 4 in your King James Bible. Luke 4, 4 in your King James Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that... Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's what the King James Bible says. The NIV says man does not live on bread alone. The NAS says man shall not live on bread alone. The New World Translation from the Jehovah's Witnesses says man must not live by bread alone. None of those three versions include but by every word of God. Now, these differences and discrepancies have not been found a couple of dozen times. They have not been found a couple of hundred times. these discrepancies that I'm giving you have been found 10,000 literal actual times. I'll give you one more. And that 10,000 number is not a made-up number. You can research it if you'd like. I'll give you one more. Luke chapter 4, verse 8. Jesus is talking with Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. The NIV leaves it out. The NAS leaves it out. The Jehovah's Witness Bible leaves it out. Let me just give you a couple more that they've left out. Acts chapter 23, verse 9. Let us not fight against God. Left out in the NIV, NAS, and Jehovah's Witness Bible. Romans 13, verse 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Romans 13, 9. Left out of the NIV, the NAS, and the New World Translation. Revelation 21, 24. Revelation 21, 24 in the King James Bible. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. The NIV says the nations will walk by its light, period. The NAS said, and the nations shall walk by its light, period. And the New World Translation says, and the nations will walk by means of its light. Now, I just gave you about 10 or 12, maybe 14 randomly chosen places where the King James Bible stands completely alone, and the NIV, the NAS, and the official Bible of the cult of the Jehovah's Witnesses agrees, New American Standard Version, and it agrees with the New International Version. You've got to be able to see that there is a serious, serious problem going on there. If you attend a church where they use the NIV Bible, every time you go to that church, and if the sermon is being preached from the NIV Bible, just like what I showed you in these dozen or so examples, they're leaving stuff out. They are giving you factual errors. They are giving you discrepancies. They are giving you things that don't match up with the King James Bible. And when you sit under that type of preaching week in and week out, you are not getting the full word of God. You're getting a perverted, corrupted word of God. Now, people will say to me, well, can somebody be saved by reading the NIV Bible? Absolutely, you can be. One of my street preachers and one of my great friends, Brother Steve, you've heard me talk about him many, many times on the program. Brother Steve, he was saved in the Marine Corps with an NIV Bible. And for a very brief period of time, he believed that the NIV Bible was the preserved word of God. Now, he's just as saved as you and I are. But you know what happened? When he was in the Marine Corps, he was confronted by a preacher who challenged him to compare the NIV with the KJV, and very, very quickly, just like what I'm showing you tonight, he found that there was an enormous discrepancy between the two Bibles. And then he very quickly became a King James-only person, not because of Peter Ruckman, but because when you compare the two side by side, and tonight we are comparing four side by side, the King James, the NIV, the NAS, and the New World Translation, and you can clearly see that the King James Bible is in a class all by itself. But yes, God can use any version of the Bible to save somebody. God can save somebody without using the Bible. Now, let me ask you a question. Sometimes you can find valuable things in the garbage. But if you were walking down an alley and you looked into a garbage dumpster and you found a diamond ring on the top of that pile of garbage, that still wouldn't make that dumpster a jewelry store. It would still be a pile of garbage, and it would still be a garbage can. The fact that there is enough Bible in the NIV that someone can be saved by it is not the same thing as having God's preserved word that you can hang your eternity on, that you can put your trust and faith in. How can you put your trust and faith in a Bible that in Revelation 13:1 says that John is Satan standing on the seashore? I couldn't put my trust and faith in a Bible like that. Do you realize that when you look, 2 weeks ago, Prince the singer died. Prince was a devout Jehovah's Witness. When he closed his eyes in death in that elevator at his Paisley Park home, that very moment that he died, he stepped out into eternity based on the teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were putting your trust and faith in the teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses to determine whether you get to heaven or not, don't you think that you would be greatly and vastly disappointed? Because the Jehovah's Witnesses don't teach Bible truth. They're a cult. They pervert the Bible. They teach non-biblical things. But the Jehovah's Witness Bible is really no different from the NIV Bible. It's really no different from the NAS or the RS or whatever version that you have. And I'm trying to get you to see that there is almost no difference between the corrupt NIV Bible and the Jehovah's Witness New World Translation. Now, people will ask me, what about the King James Bible, the New King James Bible? Isn't that okay? The people who published the New King James Bible, they would lead you to believe that all that they have done is removed a few of the these and thous. And they've made it easier for you to read. Now, the New King James Bible, unlike most of the modern translations, is based on the proper Greek manuscripts. It is not based on the corrupt Alexandrian manuscripts. But the New King James Bible is not the same as the King James Bible. They leave a whole bunch of stuff out. They left out the word Lord 66 times. They left out the word repent 44 times. They left out the word Jehovah entirely. The New King James Bible does not use the word Jehovah. They've left out the word God 51 times. They've left out the word blood 23 times. They've left out the words New Testament entirely. They've left out the word heaven 50 times. They have left out the word hell 22 times. The word damnation completely. They have left out the word fornication 23 times. They have left out the word devil 26 times. They have left out the word soul 137 times. So that is an enormous amount of times to leave those very important words out. And on top of that, they have taken some words that were relatively easy to understand, and they have made it more complicated. For example, they have taken the word seed and they have changed it to descendants in Genesis 9:9. In Genesis 18:1, they have taken the word plains and they have turned it into terebinth trees. In Leviticus 4:1, they've taken the word dung. We all know what dung is. It's a pile of crap. And they have changed it to the word awful, O-F-F-A-L. In Deuteronomy 15:7, they've taken the word coney and they have changed it to the word rock. In Judges 8:13, they have taken the phrase the sun was up and they have changed it to ascent of Harry's. I'll just give you a couple more of these. In 1 Samuel 22:6, they have taken the word tree and they have changed it to tamarisk tree. In 1 Kings 10:2, they have taken the word train and they have given you the more complicated word of retinue. In 2 Kings 12:5, they have taken the word breach and they have changed it to dilapidation. So even with the New King James Version, you're not getting the King James Bible. On top of that, the New King James Bible has three sixes all woven together as its logo. The same logo from a book called The Aquarian Conspiracy by Marilyn Ferguson back in the 1970s. The New King James Bible is, while it is better than a lot of the quote-unquote new translations, I do not recommend the King James Bible for all these reasons that I have just said to you. Now, here's an interesting fact. They have done reading tests to determine the reading level of books. Here is the grade level in which reading these different versions would fall under. For example, they rate the NIV Bible that to read the NIV Bible, you have to have an eighth grade reading level. To read the King James Bible, you have to have a sixth grade reading level. So it is scientifically proven that it is easier ultimately to comprehend the King James Bible than it is the NIV Bible. Now, as long as we're talking about Bibles and Bible versions, I just want to say a brief word about the Strong's Concordance. Many of you use a Strong's Bible Concordance, but I want to give you a few facts about James Strong and about his book that is so popular. James Strong was a member of the Westcott and Hort Revision Committee of the RV Bible, and he had a hand in creating the corrupt RV Bible. Further, Strong was also a member of the American Standard Version Committee, which was published in 1901. That was the version that said Jesus was a creature and not the Creator. Strong's concordance definitions are often the very words of these new corrupt versions. Now, I know that many of you use a Strong's Bible Concordance. It is not trustworthy, and it is based on the Westcott and Hork corrupted Greek text. Now, a bunch of you had questions at the beginning of this program. I said when we got to the end, I would do my best to answer them. So, if you have questions, now would be the time to post them in the chat room. And I will do my best to answer them if I am able to do so. But I hope you can see that the King James Bible is not like any of the other versions. It stands alone. It has no equal. Tammy is asking, is there a place to go that shows all the translations, including the Jehovah's Witness translation? I'm going to put a link in the chat room. And this was what I was reading from tonight. There's a website called av1611.com, otherwise known as the King James Bible page. And I highly recommend that you go there. There's a lot of great information. Jeanette is asking, what is the name of the Jehovah's Witness Bible? It is called the New World Translation, the NWT, the New World Translation. And I hope that you find it shocking. I hope that you find it shocking that the NIV and the NAS and the Jehovah's Witness Bible all agree with each other. That should really bother you as a Christian. It bothers me. It greatly bothers me. Tammy is asking, what is a good concordance? All right, I'm going to say something that's going to make a lot of people mad, but I'm going to say it anyway. I do not use a Bible concordance. I personally do not use a Bible concordance, and I'll tell you why. I believe with all my heart that God preserved His word for me in English. I don't speak Greek, and I don't speak Hebrew. I will never speak Greek, and I will never speak Hebrew. So if I was to open up a Bible concordance, I would be completely dependent on the scholarship of the people who wrote that concordance. And as I'm showing you now, even the Strong's Concordance is corrupt. It is based on the Westcott and Hort Alexandrian Egypt text. You cannot trust the Strong's Concordance. So, what do I use instead of a concordance? I use the King James Bible. The King James Bible comes with a built-in translating system, and it does it all in English. It is clear from the passage. What have I been teaching you guys? What have I been teaching you guys for 5 years now? I have been teaching you that the King James Bible is the Word of God, that God preserved His Word in English for English-speaking people. I don't look for what's between the lines. I don't try to make stuff out of numbers that doesn't exist. And I don't run to the Greek and Hebrew to look up meanings of the words. Now, let me give you a good example of what I'm talking about. And I forget who asked this question. I think it was Tammy. But it's a really, really good question, and I'm glad that you asked it. Turn to 2 Thessalonians Let me find it here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and let me see if I can get this up in a Strong's Concordance. Hold on 1 second here. I don't think I'll be able to get it up in time. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, every once in a while, I will come across a person who will try and tell me that the word falling away really refers to the rapture, which is the catching away. And people who tell me that say that they get that when they go to a concordance and they look up what the Greek word is for falling away. Now, I look at that same passage and I look at it in English. I know what falling away means in English. If you are on the edge of a diving board and your foot slipped, when you fell away, you would not be rising up. You would be falling down. But that's the type of faulty scholarship that you come up with when you run to the Greek word to try and figure out what the English word, quote unquote, really means. Janet says that Stealth Arrow has a great question. Where do people who have flesh and blood come after the White Throne Judgment? No one at the White Throne Judgment has blood in them. All right, that's a great question. Let's turn to Revelation. Let's turn to Revelation and let's take a look at what the book of Revelation says about who will be alive in eternity. Turn to chapter 21, Revelation 21, and let's look down in verse, let me see here. Just give me a second. You have to remember that there are people who will make it alive through the time of Jacob's trouble. When Jesus returns, there are thousands and thousands of Jews hiding in the Red Rock city of Sela Petra. And this earth is going to be repopulated by those people. Look in Revelation 22, starting in verse 1. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, why do people in eternity have to eat leaves from a tree in order to have healing? Because these are flesh and blood people who have made it through the time of Jacob's trouble, and they are going to fulfill the original commission to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's where people come from in eternity. and they have flesh and they have blood. And when God recreates the creation, he is going to recreate the original garden, and it's going to be exactly what it was meant to be in the first place. So that is who has the flesh and blood in eternity. And those people for all eternity will have flesh and blood. So Stealth Arrow is saying, so at the white throne of judgment, people will have flesh and blood. Well, none of the people who are being judged at the white throne judgment will have flesh and blood. No. The people who make it through the time of Jacob's trouble are not going to be judged at the white throne judgment. The people who make it through the time of Jacob's trouble are tribulation saints. And the Bible says that they follow Jesus wherever he goes. So we're almost out of time. I hope that that answer was helpful for you. But yes, there will be people alive in eternity who have flesh and blood, and they will repopulate this earth. They will replenish this earth. And that's exactly who those people are. I hope tonight's program was a blessing to you. And I hope that it helped to increase your faith in the King James Bible as the preserved word of God. Now, look, before we go, I just want to share a scripture with you, which shows you how seriously God takes his word. In Psalm 138, verse 2, it says this: I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know that the Bible says that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And yet in Psalm 138, verse 2, it says that God has put his word above his own name. If God takes his word that seriously, shouldn't you? Don't read a corrupt NIV, NASV, RSV, New World Translation, Jehovah's Witness Bible. Stick with the Bible that God has put his seal upon, the Bible that God used for the greatest period of world evangelism. The King James Bible, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power. And with that, we are out of time. I hope you guys have a great week, and I hope you'll study your King James Bible, and I hope you'll open it up and try to read a couple of pages a day, every day, and the Lord will bless you for it. Thank you, everybody. Good night, and Lord willing, we'll see you next time.